And Father, this morning we thank you because we are burning with Holy Ghost fire. Thank you for revelation in the knowledge of your Son, Jesus Christ. In every heart here, we ask that there's a life birthing forth clarity, birthing forth understanding of your will, of your counsel. We ask this morning that you help us together as a church, one man, to see the blessedness of the gift of our meetings. And as a result of the teaching this morning, we will grow in our appreciation, we will grow in our understanding, we will grow in how we walk with you in the use of our meetings. That through teaching and through understanding, everyone here will contribute, will learn the art of meeting in what your word will call a Christian meeting, and to contribute building up your plans and purposes together as a church. We ask this morning that by your spirit, all that needs to be said to be said, and all that needs to be heard, received and walked in, will be heard, will be received, will be walked in. We ask, just as there's no error in the teaching, there will be no error in our understanding. With every man together as a church, built up together in your word, we will be edified, our eyes open to behold Jesus. And as we see him, we see ourselves the way he sees us. We ask this morning that your word is enthroned over every thought, over every opinion, nuances, mindset, belief systems, cultures. Your word is enthroned over every experiences. Your word proceeding with a compelling power to do and to act and to heed to your counsel. We ask this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and the whole church says, amen. Hallelujah. My work is simple this morning. We'll continue on the subject of Christian meetings. Hallelujah. And I'm going to be brief as possible. Hallelujah. Matthew's gospel is my text this morning. Glory to God forevermore. Glory to God forevermore. Glory to God forevermore. Glory to God forevermore. Matthew's gospel is our text. Matthew 28. Okay, Matthew, let's read chapter 28. For your Bibles, I hope everyone is in their Bibles and writing materials. Or I'm not engaging you much this morning, doing the whole work here. In Matthew 28, in 18, and Jesus came to speak unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Now we said in verse 18 here, in 19 it says to go and teach. We observe the word teach, which means to make disciples. The word to make disciples. Hallelujah. It says go and make disciples. And then I showed you already in verse 16 that the same word disciples were used. In other words, it tells them to give what they have received. And again, thus goes the saying that you cannot give what you don't have. Hallelujah. Jesus tasked those who had been discipled with the responsibility of raising disciples. And then we said in discipleship, one of the high points of a disciple is that a disciple is aware. Hallelujah. We said awareness. I employed a number of illustrations already, you know, to explain what I mean by awareness. I remember last week Sunday, I spoke about an engineer, I spoke about a mechanic, right? I spoke about a doctor, I spoke about a lawyer. Are we together? You know, and I said something like, if you need clarity in an area, just go after a place, a people, you know, where that thing is being taught or train people, you know. So we said, in the Church of Jesus Christ, you know, where God is, you know, a major characteristic of a church is an awareness. So we said, what kind of awareness are we talking about? And I took some time on Sunday to talk about where Jesus is. Do you remember? where Jesus is. We ask the question, where is God today? You know, and I also sought to subtly correct that notion of the second coming of Jesus. Now, it doesn't mean that Jesus is not coming back. Are we together? He's not coming. But the concept of the coming of Jesus had not been properly taught. Because anything you are teaching about the second coming of Jesus Christ that makes it look as though he has been absent from the church is not properly taught. Is it clear? Is it clear? Whatever we are teaching about the coming of Jesus that makes people think or makes it look as though he has not been in the church, then that's not a proper teaching. That means we need to look at it again, or better put, re-explain that concept of the second coming, you know, what people popularly refer to as rapture. Are we together? I mean, this is not the class for that, okay? So, but we said that Jesus is in his church. The John 14 text comes in handy in explaining to us that he is in the church. Matthew 28, right in verse 20 says, it says, lo, I am with you. Lo. Now that word lo is an instructional word. It means to pay attention to the fact that I am with you. Look at it. Behold. That's what some translations say. You see a similar word used in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. In verse 17, it says, if any man in Christ, it says, all things have passed away. It says, lo, or behold, all things have become what? New. Are we together? So you see that word behold. And when the word behold is used, it means if care is not taken, you can miss that fact. So it's an instructive word on where to put your attention. 2 Corinthians 5, it says, 17, it is all things have become new. It says, behold, all things have become new. That is, look at it again. Because if you don't look at it, you will not see that things have become new. So it's an instruction. So Jesus uses, or Matthew rather, uses a similar word, you know, in chapter 28. It is in verse 19, it is teaching them, are we together, to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always. In other words, you are to pay attention. To pay attention. Lo, I am with you always. So the personal presence of Jesus in his church becomes a subject of study. The personal presence of God, or the personal presence of Jesus Christ in his church, or with his church, whichever one you choose, it becomes a crucial course, a crucial subject, of study. Hallelujah. So we said already on Sunday, and I think I mentioned it last week, Thursday also, that there is no doubt as touching where God is. Some say, but God is everywhere. But God is present everywhere. Are we together? God is present everywhere. They call it omnipresence, right? He said that the omnipresence of God. Omnipresence, not omni. Omnipresence. He said God is omniscient. God is omnipresent. Are we together? And then we say he's also all powerful. And also he says God is present everywhere. Is that really true? Are we together? Is that really true that he is everywhere? Are we together? Are we together? Is that really true that God is everywhere? Are we together? But look at this. The Bible says, where two or three people are gathered in my name, it says, there I am in the midst of them. So God deliberately addresses us on where we will always find him. Are we together? That is, if you don't find him anywhere, amen. If we don't find him anywhere else, we are going to find him here. Where is that? Where two or three people are gathered together in my name. Hallelujah. So we said God is present in his church. He's present in his church. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. He's there. We said on Sunday that there is no doubt as touching where God is. But then we have to go beyond where he is. A disciple is also aware of what he is what? Doing. Don't forget. And how to what? Participate. So for the Christian, you ought to be aware of what he is doing so that you can what? Participate. And I told us on Thursday that you can be where he is and doing his work. Yes, you. You can be where God is and hinder his work if you are not smart. So Paul in 1 Corinthians 12 spoke about being smart, being intelligent. The opposite of being intelligent is to be dull. Some Christians are dull when it comes to the things of the Spirit. God doesn't want Christians to be dull. So Paul says, he says, look at it. He says, concerning spirituals, I would not have you to be dull. That's what you have there in 1 Corinthians 12 verse 1. He says, now, concerning spirituals, I would not have you, are we together, to be ignorant. Amen. To be ignorant. I would not have you to be ignorant. So, he then goes ahead to give us what we call the intelligence. Look at that text in 1 Corinthians 12, quickly. Do you have a Bible? Alright, use it. Praise God. 1 Corinthians 12. Praise the Lord. 1 Corinthians in chapter 12. Now look at verse 1. If you are there, say amen. Right. 1 Corinthians 12, 1. He says, I read from here, so you just follow me. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren. Now I told you that's not just gifts, okay, spiritual things of the spirit generally. I would not have you what? Ignorant. Now it says brethren. So can a Christian be ignorant of the things of the spirit? Is he indwelt of the spirit? Is he indwelt of the spirit? Is the spirit of God in the Christian? But can a Christian be ignorant? Yeah. Are we together? Are we together? Right. Ignorant. So look at this. So he says, you know that you were Gentiles carried away unto these done by us, even as learned. Wherefore I give you to us understand. So I'll say understand. So Paul is teaching. He communicates understanding through teaching. I give you to understand. I give you to understand. So teaching. So teaching makes me intelligent. You don't become intelligent through visions. In fact, you see a man like that that had a vision and was acting dull in the vision. That was Peter. God had to rebuke him. You don't call what I've cleaned, what I've sanctified, unclean. He was acting dull. Are we together? Are we together? The guy was acting. His mind couldn't catch up. His mind couldn't catch up. And it wasn't the only person in the Bible acted that way. So look it up. He says, wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus a cursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. So he's giving them intelligence about Christian meetings. Whatever you are reading here has to do with meetings. It's because he was talking about meetings that he started talking about the things that happen there. So he says, diversities of operations. You see? He says, it is the same God that worketh all in all. So these are verbs, these are actions, activities. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit without. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge, by the same Spirit.
to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another workings of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of Spirit, to another diverse kind of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the self same Spirit, dividing to every man self that he has a will. For as the body is one. So he's talking about a people. What happens amongst a people? What happens amongst a people? It's important to note that the gifts of the Spirit are manifested in meetings. Because he says in verse 11, he says, all this walking. In verse 7 rather, it says the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit all. To profit with all. The word with all means to profit collectively. To profit everyone. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man. It says to profit all. So what is given you of the Spirit of God will not profit until you come in contact with another believer. They are gifts in operation in meetings. Glory to God forevermore. They operate, they function in meetings. In meetings. Meetings. Where two or three are gathered. That's a meeting. I said on Sunday, you don't meet yourself. The moment we say a meeting, that means there are at least two people or more. That's a meeting. You don't say, I had a meeting and it's just you. Hallelujah. We'll have to check you. Is it clear? Is it clear? So you meet when you have a meeting, it means there's now more than one person. So the gifts of the Spirit, the manifestation of the Spirit of God, what we call the gifts of the Spirit, that is the manifestation of the things of God, of the Spirit of God, are we together? Happens in meetings. They don't happen when you're alone. Because now you say you have interpretation of tongues. Who are you interpreting to? Are we together? Who are you interpreting to? The gifts of healing, who are you healing? There has to be someone who needs healing. Then you minister healing as a believer. Are we together? I don't know on Thursday, we are all called, right? We are all called to minister the gospel. So the gifts of the Spirit also in meetings. In meetings. Glory to God forevermore. When you have a word of knowledge, how do you minister it? I mean, you can have a word of knowledge about somebody even before you meet with them, but you have to be in the meeting with them to minister it. You have to be in the meeting. Word of knowledge, word of wisdom, to minister it. The gift of faith. Meetings. You have to come in contact with people. So that means the things of the Spirit in your life will not function the way it should until you get into meetings. It won't function. Because it was put there not for you but for others. Praise God forevermore. It won't function. The move of the Spirit in your life will not function if you have come from meetings. For example, this is Sunday morning. Church services is a meeting. It's a Christian meeting. You know, today I know we use words like, we have a program. You know, though we hardly use that word here. Nothing wrong with that word. You know, we have a program. But, you know, we use the word meeting. Remember, I was talking to some folks somewhere in town some time ago. And I said, I have a church meeting. He said, meeting. So they thought I was, you know, having an official kind of meeting. So they said, program. I said, okay, all right, program. But that's it. It's a meeting. It's a Christian meeting. Sunday morning is a Christian meeting. Are we together? When we have special meetings, in Christ Discipleship Camp meeting, that's a meeting. In those meetings, there's a manifestation. Some of us, you will discover that in those kind of meetings, the things of the Spirit in operation through you is becoming heightened. There's a heightening. First of all, because you have endeavored to give expression to it. You have endeavored to give expression to it. And secondly, because you also receive from others. You've endeavored to give expression to it. You also receive from others. Hallelujah. Say, I give expression to the gifts in the Spirit. Say, I give expression to the gifts in the Spirit. I also receive. I receive the ministry of the gifts of the Spirit. That's it. So when you do that, it becomes heightened. Meetings. So you look at Paul. So it goes on and on. Right there, he spoke about in 27, 28, 29. Then he spoke about love edifying in 13. By the time you look at chapter 14, it says follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts. But rather that you may prophesy. You don't prophesy to yourself. Are we together? Prophecy is God having a message to a people through you. That's prophecy. You don't say, oh, yesterday I prophesied to myself. How? How? In 1 Timothy 1:18, Paul said, the words which have gone before you. Are we together? The gift which was given you by prophecy, by the laying on of men, 2 Timothy 1:6. It is not to neglect it, given you by prophecy. So prophecy is God communicating to you. But many times that happens in the church. It's God's message to the church. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, Paul says, to not despise prophecies. Are we together? It says don't despise it. It says to not forbid speaking in tongues. Forbid not to speak with tongues. That is, forbid not speaking in tongues. Don't forbid it. Are we together? Despise not prophecies or prophesying. Don't despise prophecies. Both the art of it and the content in it. Don't despise it. Now I'm not talking about going about like a fowl that is not cared for, pecking things all over the street till you get what is damaging into your system. You see some folks like that, some Christians like that, they go about from one preacher to another preacher looking for prophecies. You just get yourself into trouble. When Paul says despise those prophecies, he wasn't talking to a Christian in the room to go look for prophecies in the church. Paul was talking to the entire church. You must always bear that in mind, that the audience of Paul's letters were churches. So that instruction to not despise prophecy was to the church, in the church. It's not saying be looking for prophecies about. No. It's not saying to start looking for prophecies, harvesting prophecies all over the body of Christ. No. Because there's what God is saying per time, and he sees it to the assemblies. Is it clear? Jesus in Revelation. Revelation 2, Revelation 3. He brought his message to the church. The message was to the churches, the seven churches. The message was to the churches. The churches. The word of the Lord is to the churches, the gatherings. So when you are in the gathering, God's word will get to you. Is it clear? Is it clear? Look at me. God's word doesn't come to you alone. No. God's word doesn't come to you alone. When God speaks to you alone, it is a reminder of what he has said to the congregation. Go read your entire Bible. Oftentimes, when you come across someone say, what about when we read the word of the Lord came to? The word of the Lord came to. Yeah, the word of the Lord came to the pastor for the assembly. The word of the Lord came to the prophet for the congregation of Israel. And that's not Nigeria today. Say, I have a prophecy for Nigeria. You are just misbehaving. Nigeria is not a church. Nigeria is not a church. Are we together? And Nigeria is not Israel. Nigeria is not God's nation. Is it clear? Is it clear? Nigeria is not what? Nigeria is not God's nation. God's nation is the churches. Does Nigeria belong to God? Well, Nigeria does not belong to God anymore than the nations of the earth belongs to God. The reason why Nigeria belongs to God is because all the nations of the earth belongs to God. But God, Nigeria does not specially belong to God. So Nigeria is not God's people like the Israel you are reading in the Old Testament books. No. You mixed chaff with wheat. Praise God. So in the meetings, it says there are prophecies. It says there are gifts in the Spirit. Manifestation of the Spirit of God. Manifestation in the meetings. Manifestations. Manifestations. In the meetings. In the meetings. There's a heightening. Glory to God. Of the things of God in the meetings. Because the meetings are supernatural. As we are all here, this gathering is supernatural. The sick are healed here. The dead can be raised here. Are we together? Afflictions of Satan falls off people's lives and bodies here. Demonic afflictions, demons are cast out and dethroned from people's lives here in the meeting. It says, where two or three people are gathered together in my name, it says, there I am in the midst of them. There I am in the midst of them. Where two or three are gathered together in my name. So is Jesus here? Jesus is here. Hallelujah. Look at 1 Corinthians 5. So if Jesus is here, can I be taught of the Lord? Answer me. Can I have the knowledge of God communicated to me? Can I receive direction for my life in the meeting? Can I? Thank you. 1 Corinthians 5. Are you there now? Look at verse 4, everyone. Everyone, 1 Corinthians 5, 4. Let's read together. When you are gathered together He says, look at this. He says, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together. So does it look like where two or three are gathered together in my name? Answer me. You must answer me this morning. Answer me. Where two or three are gathered in my name. Look at this. Again, I read it. Verse 4. He says, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together, and my what? Spirit. With the power of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, the power of the Lord Jesus Christ is there. So, church services are not casual meetings. The power of Jesus Christ is here. That is why things can happen in His name. Like we spoke about on Sunday. The name. Lives can be transformed. Addictions can fall off people's lives. Amen. Sometimes people come into church with thoughts of depression. Sometimes you even find out people come into the church services with suicidal thoughts and intents. And by the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, they are free. Are we together? They are free. I remember a meeting like that I had with someone, and two people came after the gathering, different people, and said they were suicidal. The fellow said that he had already planned that week he was going to take his life. He had even bought all the things he needed. He said, that's all. And someone just stayed on him. He said, you have to be in church. He said, he didn't want to be in church. Sometimes you go to invite people and they don't look active towards church. See, it's an abnormal Christian that is not active towards church services. So I say, sometimes, you know, you go to invite someone, and then the fellow says, no, I'm going to be in that other church. That's still, you know, the fellow is going to an assembly in the morning, on Sunday. Are we together? No, that's not enough. You must get them to your church. And there's a reason why. Because you know that where you are, they are going to be taught God's word there. You know. You know that. Are we together? But you know, you see someone who doesn't go or to say I don't feel like going to church this morning. It's not normal. It's not normal. Sometimes Satan is behind such feelings. Notice I said sometimes. Sometimes Satan. That's why, you know, we have to trust God by His Spirit to, you know, really impress it on people. You have to be in church. You have to be in church. I remember the fellows came around and said one even said he had bought all the things he needed to commit suicide. He said, but the fellow stayed on him. Thank God for those who stay on us to do what God wants. The fellow stayed on it. He says, you must be in service this morning. I don't want to go there. Be in service this morning. I don't want to be in service this morning. Hallelujah. I remember in those days that some folks would come trying to get also a particular church service to the church. Now, I'd go to my church and I'd commitment there. But there are these guys that came around during my undergraduate days. They were from the Deeper Christian Life Ministry, the Deeper Life Church. They came around. Those guys are quite very serious. Well, not about now, but then. They get into church. Sometimes they will help you to do whatever else church you're doing. I remember then, I think maybe 2005 or 2006, some of them will come to, is it Oluyoro? Or, no, I think it was around Okebadon. They will come around on Saturday. He said, we are going to Sunday. We are going to whatever you are doing. Say, let's do it together.
they will join you to do your house chores so as to have you in the church. They will join you. Some will join you to wash clothes. Women, I remember vividly. They will join you to wash clothes. Are you one who wash it? Do you need water? Let's fetch you water. But once we are done, you take your bed. We are going to church. And it's because they love you. They love you. Praise God forevermore. They love you. So the fellow said that after the service, you see, all the feeling, the pressure, because you see, that societal thought is a pressure. It's a pressure. Now, if you don't know, you don't know. It's a pressure. And very interesting, what mounts that pressure is a particular demon. It talks to you. So the fellow keeps hearing the voice. Keeps hearing the voice. You won't allow you sleep. Voice of doom, gloominess, discouragement, depression. He keeps hearing the voice. He's a demon. So when people come into services, by the Spirit of God, will cast out those devils. How? You say how? Through teaching. As the word of God goes forth. I've seen someone before, one person, because it happened just to me once, one person came into a meeting. Now, I wasn't there to preach, I was there to attend. And in that meeting, there was a call made from the pulpit, and the fellow went out with a gun. And he said he was going out to kill somebody. That's what he said. Yeah. And then, in my own mind, I was like, so why are you coming to church? You have to forgive me before time. You know. And then the altar call was made, and the fellow came out and gave his life to Christ. That's the way they use the word. He gave his life to Christ. Meeting. The power of God proceeds forth in the meeting. That is why many times the strength we need in our private lives to do the things God wants, that strength is contacted in the meeting. Your private lives are supposed to be an activity upon the meeting. The gifts of the Spirit. Praise God. So spoke about that in 1 Corinthians 14. He went on, talk about the manifestation of the Spirit. In 1 Corinthians 14 in verse 1, it says, follow after charity, desire spiritual gift, but rather that you may prophesy. For he that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men, but unto God. It says, for no man understand him, how business spirit speaks mysteries. But he that prophesies speaketh unto who? Unto men. Is that the church? Verse 4, he that speaks in an unknown tongue edifies himself, but he that prophesies edifies what? The church. I would that you all speak in tongues, but rather that you prophesy. For greater is he that prophesy than he that speaks in tongues. Help me interpret that the church may receive what? Edifying. The church. Someone say the church. Hallelujah. So he goes on and on. He talks about meetings. Meetings. In 1 Corinthians 14 there, by the time you look at verse 23, if therefore the whole church be come together into one place and all speak with tongues, hallelujah, all speak with tongues. You see in verse 26, I see them brethren, when you come together, every one of you has a what? A psalm. Hallelujah. In the meeting, had a doctrine, had a what? A tongue, had a what? Revelation. Had a what? Interpretation. Let all things be done unto what? Edifying. So the meeting place is a point of edification. It's a point of edification. So he's giving them insights about how their meeting should go. Instructions about how their meeting should go. In fact, He said, if there be no interpreter, he said, let him keep silence in the church. Let him speak to himself and to God. He didn't say, let him not speak with tongues again. He says, to himself and to God. Let the prophet speak two or three. Let the other judge, if anything be revealed unto another that are seated by. So there's a revelation in the assembly. If anything be revealed to another that sits by, so I can have revelation in the meeting for others that sit by. He didn't say, if anything be revealed to the one that is in his room. No, he says that sits by in the meeting. So church services are moments of activities of the Spirit. Is it clear? Never come to church expecting to just be lukewarm and quiet altar. Expect to give and receive. He says, let the force hold his peace. He didn't say, let the force be quiet. Let him be done. That's intelligence. For you may all what? Prophesy one by one. Some say, we may all prophesy. Did you see that? He says that all may what? Be learned. And that all may be what? Comforted. These are the things that are available, not in your room, but in the meetings. They are available in the meetings. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of God. The word peace there is the word order. Of order. Glory to God forevermore. I said glory to God forevermore. So meetings are God's tools, like we said. So he is particular about what we do there. And we say meetings are awareness points. They make us aware. Quickly. So I give us an assignment, don't forget, to look at certain words. In Exodus chapter 12, I actually had a different direction this morning. I was wondering what we should do. Are we together? I mean, I planned what I would do, amen? And I wanted us to have a form of interaction. But I would not again now. Are we together? I hope I do that before I'm done teaching this subject. In Exodus 12. In verse 12. So I told us to look at this text and make some observations, of which a number of us did. Are we together? At least I think I have 15 reports. Amen. I actually wanted everyone who sent me reports to talk. That's actually what I wanted to do this morning. I wanted Brother Blessing to talk. I wanted Sister Precious to talk. That's Tolu Ashegun Precious. I wanted Brother Lamo to talk. Brother Tolu, Sister Bukomin. I wanted Brother Ayo to talk. I wanted Sister Kehinde Osheni to talk. I wanted Sister Ife to talk. I wanted Brother Alfredo John to talk. Brother David. Brother Ivan, I wanted who else to start with me, Brother Kolade, and then those are all the people that sent me reports. Others did not. Alright. So quickly, Exodus 12. Exodus 12. Exodus chapter 12. In verse 12. Good. Now, this was the Exodus. So in verse, if you look at verse 6, it says, verse 6. The context is verse 1, but I don't want to read from verse 1 because of our time. And then I already told us to read, alright? So, look at verse 3. Speak you unto the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month shall they shall take to them every man the lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto him take it according to the number of the souls, every man according to his eating, shall make count, he says, shall make your count for the lamb. The lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year, you shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats. And you shall keep it unto the 14th day of the same month.
and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. Now 7. Read on 8, 9, 10. Now in 11, it says, and thus shall you eat with your loins gathered, your shoes on your foot, and your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. Alright? So it says, it is the Lord's Passover. Now it says, they will eat it with their staff, or the staff in the hand. It says, with the shoes on the feet. In other words, you see a readiness for a trip. So this was the Exodus. Now look at verse 12. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn, he says, in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. In 13, and the blood shall be for you, to you rather, a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you, when I smite the land of Egypt. This day shall be unto you a memorial. You shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. If you read on, keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. 7 days shall you eat unleavened bread, even the fourth day shall you shall put away leavened out of the houses, for whosoever eateth leavened bread from the first day unto the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. And in the fourth day there shall be a holy what? Convocation. And in the seventh day there shall be an holy convocation to you, no matter of work which shall be done in them, save that which every man must eat, that only may be done of you. You shall observe the feast of the unleavened bread. So we said, that upon the Exodus, God commanded meetings, gatherings. Don't forget we said that the Exodus prefigures salvation to us, the new birth. So upon the new birth, the next most important thing in the life of a Christian is church services. That's why I always say, you don't get someone saved and say, get a copy of a Bible, join any Bible believing church, we'll meet at rapture. You are going to cry on the last day. Because God is going to hold you responsible for that soul. He says to go and make disciples. That means God's wisdom is not a burn throw away. You know what burn throw away is? It's not burn throw away. Get people saved, touch and go. That is not God's work. It means after people are saved, God expects that we will take responsibility for their growth. God expects that the church will take responsibility. That is why, listen carefully, the work of evangelism is the mission of the church. We're going to look at all that at camp meeting. The work of evangelism is the mission of the church. And that is why the work of prayer is the mission of the church. What do I mean by the mission of the church? See, it's okay to say, I can go on evangelism. It's fine. But hear me and hear me clearly. The work of evangelism is committed not to a Christian. It's committed to a church. It's to the church. So the reason why we evangelize is because we are members of this church. Do you get it? You tap that brother, yellow. Are we together? Are we together? Evangelism is a mission of the churches. See, it's a corporate assignment. It's a corporate assignment. Now, sometimes folks will say, oh, but I don't know what to say. I don't know how to say it. Maybe even why to say it. But I don't know what to say. I don't know how to say it. It is normal. It is normal that at first
you will not know what to say and how to say it. That is why it is a mission of the church, so you can be put through at it. The church is to put you through. You know, today you have all manner of things going on in the churches. The churches have replaced some churches, not all the churches. Some churches have replaced the gold with brass. So instead of the assignment of the churches, they have developed other things for themselves. So we are now doing, or you know, many people are now doing retention ministry. How do we keep the people? No. Jesus didn't ask you to go and keep the people. He says to make disciples. So what do we do for young people to stay in the church? How can we make them to stay? That is no more the church of God. That's no more the church of God. How can we get the young people to stay in the church? The moment you start asking those questions, you have missed God's plan. So you come up with tricks. Let's have seminars. What kind of seminars? Let's have single seminars. Nothing wrong in teaching God's word regarding relationships and marriage, so Christians can live exemplary lives and fulfill God's plan in their marriages. But when such meetings are with the intention of let's just keep the people busy, you have missed God's plan. You have missed God's plan. What I said now, I've been saying it for 15 years. You have missed God's plan. The word of God. See, if the word of God gathers them, the word of God will keep them. God is looking out for people who come together for his word. Are we together? We don't need comedians in the church. Are you mad? I mean, you have to be crazy. Very crazy. We don't need comedians. I didn't say we can't have people in the church members who do comedy. No, that's not bad. You can have church members who do what? Or who does what? Comedy. Are we together? I mean, in their world, in their lifestyles and all that, they can do MCs, right? Of events, and do comedies and all that. But I mean, as a church service, then you are an idiot. Yes. I didn't say that. Paul said that. Are we there? Then we'll bring up things like, let's have drama. Let's have drama. And let's have, what's this thing that, yeah, choreography. Let's have drama. Let's have choreography. As the steps, they preach the word of God to us. Praise God. We don't need just gimmicks. If your heart burns for the Lord, you don't need the drama unit to bring it to the service. Glory to God forevermore. So God instructed meetings. So can we say that meetings are instructions of God? Huh? Alright. We'll come back to that. In the Nehemiah meeting, Nehemiah 8 meeting, the Nehemiah 8 text, what did you observe? And the Leviticus meeting, you see, now, how many of you went through that? Did you see the different shades of how Christian meetings should look like? Right? Right. You see that those texts are complementary, isn't it? Uh-huh. The Nehemiah text, those who didn't read it, I was saying, yes, sir. God is watching you. So, the Nehemiah text, are we together? And the Exodus text, Exodus 12, Nehemiah 8, Leviticus 21, 23, those texts are
complementary. You have to put them together. Don't forget we said that the New Testament writer, when he's teaching from the Old Testament, he's not necessarily teaching from a single word, text. He's bringing text together. So those are the bodies of text that the New Testament writer is teaching from when he talks about meetings. Those are the texts. When we talk about, there are other texts, but those are the texts. When we talk about meetings, glory to God. So we see God uses gatherings, just like we saw in Leviticus. It says a holy convocation. He used the word holy. Why? Because the people coming together was not going to be God's institution. No, God is not the one that institutes people coming together. Are we together? Are we together? In Babel, Genesis 11, at Babel, people already came together. People came together. And when they came together to stand against God's plans. They came together for their own cause, for idol worship. So, but when God calls people together, it is a unique gathering. Whenever God calls people together, it is different from the way it is in the world. So there's a difference between your classroom lectures, those of you in the university or in schools. There's a difference between your lecture rooms and church service. There's a difference. There's a difference. Church services are different. So it is a holy convocation. So when God calls a meeting, it is unique. So it is called convocation, a holy one. Leviticus 23. A different meeting. This shall be a sacred meeting. A sacred meeting. So we said that in those gatherings, like we saw in Nehemiah, they taught the word of God. They taught the word of God. So the knowledge being communicated is a sacred knowledge, like I'm doing this morning. It's the knowledge of God. It's a unique knowledge. It's a different information. The meeting is a different meeting. It's a separate meeting. It's not a casual meeting. It's not a worldly meeting. It's not a casual meeting. Church services is a separate meeting, is a unique meeting, is a different meeting. You can have association meeting that is different from church services. It's different. So he says it's a holy convocation, a secret convocation. Look at Leviticus 23, everyone. Leviticus. It's a sacred meeting. So it's a sacred meeting. I'm a friend, I say sacred. He still says it to today, over 20 years. Sacred. He's a very sacred person. Leviticus. Are you there? Leviticus chapter 23. He says, and the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them, concerning the feast of the Lord, which he shall proclaim to be what? Holy convocations. Now, the word to be is italicized. Take it out. So what you have is, the feast of the Lord, which you shall proclaim what? Holy convocations. These are my what? Feast, my own. Can we say my meetings? Can we say my meetings? Look at this. You know, sometimes in your education or whatever, you're having a lecture. Maybe a professor emeritus is coming to have a lecture. You know, there was, I think some months ago, there was one professor, is it Lubamba or something? What was his name again? You know, from Kenya, I think, who came around to University of Ilorin. And then that was a very, I know him, I've followed him for some time, very, very, very. And then, so I saw the banner in the school, and then he was reading, really, I forgot the lecture title now. He says, so lecture with Professor so and so. That means if you read that, it's telling you are meeting with so and so person. You're having a meeting with it. Or sometimes you say, a dinner with. Are we together?
the executive governor of Kwara State, a dinner with. That means he's the host. Hallelujah. He's the host. So he says, a dinner with. Because that's the host. In Christian services, who is the host? God is the host. The Lord Jesus Christ is the host. Hallelujah. So whatever he gives, I will have it to the overflow. Are we together? He is the minister in the sanctuary. Jesus. Amen. So I must know what he does. So God is the host. These are my what? Feasts. Leviticus 23, verse 2 and 3. These are my what? Feasts. Proclaim what? Holy what? Convocations. Are those sacred meetings? Sacred meetings. So I also have sacred what? Attitude. I have to treat it as what? Sacred. Treat church services as sacred. For example, you look at the screen. What you are reading in the screen there is a simple way, is the basic way of treating the meeting as what? Sacred. Honor the meeting. Your honor for God is not more than the way you honor the meeting. That is his presence. And then you are joking. Are we together, church? Are we together? That's your honor for God. So how I treat Christian meetings is how I treat God. Now look at this. He said, these are my convocations. These are my feasts. Holy convocations. And he says, it is for all the children of Israel. Now imagine an Israelite comes into that meeting to do anyhow. Who is he dishonoring? That's God. It's God you're dishonoring. Not Moses. Not the Levites. Who brought us around the ordinances and the activities of the temple. It is God. And the Lord said unto Moses, these are my feasts. So the Lord can say to a church, this meeting is mine. Now you know there are meetings, there are also special meetings. And there's what makes that special meeting special. Special meeting. I'm excited to it. Special meeting. Special meetings. Special meetings. Like in Christ discipleship camp meeting is a special meeting. I come for special direction. If Sunday services has blessed you, then we say there is a meeting. You should look at that meeting. Thank you. If prayer meetings have blessed you, you should have changed that gomo. We're having a meeting here, okay? So gomo again. Are we together? Are we together? I'm having a meeting here. So if there are prayer meetings and prayer meetings have blessed you, then we say there is a special meeting. Are we together? That means there's special direction there. There's a special direction there. There's something there for me. We call it a mountain, a place of encounter. Things will be said because of me. Do you know why things will be said because of you? Because God knows you. Separate unto me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereof I was called them to do. Because God knows what? Barnabas and who? And Saul. I believe God knows me. Are we together? It's a special meeting. So there are meetings. There are special meetings. There are also very special meetings. So it's a very special meeting. Imagine a whole year. The church prepares for a meeting. A whole year. It's a special meeting. So ensure you are there. Are we together? So look at this. Let's get back to our Bible, please. So look at this. The feast of Israel, they are worship feasts. It means God is worshipped in those feasts. We have said that. So, notice something. In Matthew 28, in verse 16, go there quickly. Let's see. I'll say two, three things and then I'll close. Are we together? Are we together? All right. Are you there? Read verse 16 of Matthew 28. I cannot hear what you are reading. Let me read myself. What you are reading for me. Matthew 28. Wait for me. Thank you. Verse 15. I can see it now. So it says the 11 disciples went away into what? Galilee. Into a place where Jesus was and appointed them. So there is a place. There is a place. So if there is a meeting, then there is a what? There is a place. Now, notice that, see, the place cannot be anywhere. Anywhere is not a place. Are we together? Anywhere. So we're having a meeting. And then you say, can you send the link so I can live stream? Where are you? So people can be anywhere and be in the meeting. No. Either that is not the meeting or you are not there. You can't be anywhere. Are we together? Are we together? You must be careful of theology of convenience that robs you power in the faith. You can't be what? Anywhere. Can't we live stream it? Are you not doing live stream? Are you not doing live stream? Even if we do live stream, it is not for you. If that is meant to be your meeting. Did you see that? Did you see that? It's not for you. It's not for you. You can't be anywhere and be in the meeting. There's a place. So say, what if I'm in the UK? You fly into the city. You fly in. Are we together? If it is your what? Your meeting. If it's your meeting, you fly in. Look at this. Look at this. Look. You can't be smarter than God. Look at this. Imagine the Ethiopian eunuch had left him the feast he came to Israel for. Live stream. So we are wondering, who is Ethiopia enough? He lives at Tauhid Road. No, read your Bibles. Are we together? Amen. You have to be there. Have to be there. Some say, but Paul wrote letters to the churches. It's a lie. Paul's letter to the churches was not how they were taught and trained. They were pastors in those churches. So Paul said, in the letter, look at it. Paul wrote a letter to the church. Yet in the letter, Paul is instructing what? When all of you become together in what? One place. In the letter. So the letter is pointing you to meeting. You can't be smarter than God. One's going to say, letters are the technology of those days. Can we use technology? Technology is given to calm down. Technology must not rob you of authenticity. It mustn't rob you of authenticity. Have to be there. So is there a place? So is it part of my intelligence to know the place? And to be in the place? Look at 1 Samuel. Quickly. 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel. Starting. Hope I'm right. Yes, I'm right. Chapter 10. Look at verse 4. What do you have in verse 4? Okay, read from verse 1. Everybody, I want you to open your mouth and read 1 Samuel chapter 10 from verse 1. 1, 2, go. Assist him. That's your work. Wait. 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel. Someone assist. Assist somebody by you. That's your work. Assist somebody by you. Ensure everybody by you is open to 1 Samuel chapter 10. Is there any rule that all of them are we together? 1 Samuel. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, right? Then you have what? Joshua, right? Then Judges. Then what? Then? Thank you. Have you opened it? All right. Chapter 10, verse 1. 1, 2, go. Verse 1. Some of us are not reading. Verse 1. Some of us are still not reading. Some of us are still not reading. For somewhere. Who is having Yoruba Bible here? Maybe it's Yoruba Bible that you are carrying. Who is carrying Yoruba Bible here? Greek. Who has a sales agent? Russian. So we are all English, right? Okay. So 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse 1. 1, 2, go. And the bottle of wine. Okay, pause. Breathe. Breathe in. Breathe out. Verse 4, wants to go. After that, thou shalt come to the... Is there a location to God's plan? Is there a physical location to God's activities? So God is everywhere. Okay. Is there a physical location to what God does? Look at it. God can do what he wants to do anywhere, but he doesn't do it everywhere. He doesn't. That's why when you go to shrine and you collect prophecy, you know you have collected trouble. God cannot lead you there. So your theology of God is everywhere does not include the shrine. Are we together? He does not lead people there. He doesn't heal people there at the shrine. Did you see that? So your doctrine of God is everywhere. A doctrine of God is everywhere that makes you to despise his choice of locations for his activities is a false knowledge. Because the knowledge of God cannot contradict the work of God. Did you get it? So is God everywhere as far his presence? His presence is everywhere. But he does not carry out his works everywhere. Is it clear, church? He does not use everywhere for his place of activity. So, the writer of the New Testament will say, know you that your body is the what? Is the what? Is the temple of who? Of God's Spirit. Now, we all know that that body could not be talking about this, your body. It can't be now. Are we together? Your heart, liver. Know you not that your body, he was talking to his church, your gathering, is the. That means when the church is meeting, that meeting place, temple, is the place of the worship of God. Temple is majorly for two things. Number one, a supernatural being is worshipped in the temple. And then secondly, the supernatural being manifests itself in the temple. So the temple is a place of worship. It's also a place of supernatural intervention. Are we together? It's a place of worship. It's also a place of what? Supernatural intervention. So when he says, know you not that your body, that is your coming together, your gathering, your union, is the temple of the Holy Spirit. It means that, look at this, when we come together, that gathering is the place of God's activity. Is the place of God's activity. The gathering is the place of God's activity. The place of God's activity. The gathering where two or three are gathered together in my name. There I am in the midst of them. Where two or three are gathered together in my name. There I am in the midst of them. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. Are we together? He now says, and if two or more of you, he says, if any two of you shall agree as touching anything, I will do it. Are we together? So that is the place of his activity. The meeting place. The meeting place. The issue with many people is not just a culture of personal laziness, but a transferred culture, an inherited culture of lethargy and lukewarmness towards the things of God. The challenge with many Christians is parental. They were raised from homes where there is no understanding. The intelligence of the things of the spirit is lacking in the home. But you see, discipleship through the word of God brings to you again how God works. So there should be things like, I'm not used to this. No. It's not about what you're used to or what you're not used to. No. It's about what God wants. It's about how God works. It's about what God does. Glory to God forever and ever. Look at that text again and read on. In chapter 10, he says, after that, thou shalt come to where? The what? The heel of God. Don't say the heel of God. Ha ha ha. Are we together, church? He says, where is the garrison of what? Of the Philistines. And it shall come to pass, when thou art come to the city, thou shalt meet what? A company of what? Prophets. Is that a meeting? Coming down from the high place with a what? A psaltery and a tabret and a pipe and a harp before them. So there's a songs ministry. Are we together? There's a songs ministry. Ministry of psalms. So look at what it says. And they shall what? Prophesy. So that means you must know that songs walk hand in hand with the things of the Spirit, with divine inspiration. Songs with divine inspiration. Are we together? There's a place of songs in Christian meetings. Songs. There's a place of songs in Christian meetings. So look at that. Can we read verse 6 together, everyone? And the Spirit of the Lord, we do what? The Spirit of the Lord will do what? Will come upon thee, and thou shalt what? Prophesy with them. Read on. And thou shalt be turned into what? See, I'll be changed. I'll be changed. See, I'll be changed. I'll be changed. I'll be changed. Glory to God forever and ever. You see, I'll be changed. I'll be changed. So look at this. Look at this. Look at this. Look at this. Now, the guy got up and said to the folk, I don't know him. He said, were you not the one we saw with him? Me? And then the cock crowed. Then he remembered that Jesus had said he would betray him. Are we together? That same guy in Acts chapter 4. He now got up and told the elders of the city. He says, judge you amongst yourselves who we should obey. Should we obey you or we should obey God? What was the difference? What changed with Peter? What changed with Peter? Are we together? The Acts 2 meeting. The Acts 2 meeting changed. He got up in Acts 2. He says, men and brethren. He says, hearken unto me. Hallelujah. He says, hearken unto me. He says, these men are not drunk with wine as you supposed, but according to the prophet. Are we together? Then he explained how they were full of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Acts 2. Meetings change people. Meetings. Meetings change people. He says, you shall be turned into another man. Transformation. In the meeting, impartation. In the meeting, direction. Supernatural in the meeting. You are made wiser, stronger in the ministry. Refired up in the meeting. Hallelujah. Emboldened. The giftings of God in me amplified. Hallelujah. Amplified. They are honed to function in a greater capacity. Are we together? Because of the meeting. It is, and the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the meeting. In the meeting. It says we shall be turned. That means there are impartations. And the things that were not yet, that were not working before, starts working. And your voice becomes louder. You know, Peter's voice was louder, right? On that day. 3,000 people. 3,000 people. 3,000 people. 3,000 people believed. 3,000. That is the power of the Holy Spirit. One message. 3,000 people had it and gave their hearts to the Lord. Gave your hearts to the Lord. 3,000 people. That is the power of the Holy Spirit. Are we together, church? That is the fruit of meetings. Amen. Look at that. He says, and let it be when these signs are come unto thee, that thou do as the occasion serve thee, for God is with you. Was God with him? Huh? Was God with him? Why didn't he have what he was going to have in the meeting, since God was with him? God was with him, yet those things were going to happen where? Until he gets into the meeting. God is with you. Yes, you will not have those things till you get into the meeting. Till you get into the camp meeting. Till you get into the service. So I don't say, oh, the Spirit of God dwells in me. Since the Spirit of God dwells in me, I can stay in my room. You will not have the things of God if you do that. You won't have it. You won't have it. He says you'll be turned into another man in the meeting. So look at this. There is no doubt with the fact that Saul was going into that meeting with God. So in Christian meetings, we are not coming just to meet. We are coming with God's presence. Are we together? But to participate and to partake of the what? Of his presence in a greater dimension. In a greater dimension. So there is God's Spirit in you, but there is also God's Spirit amongst us. And the Spirit amongst us is a greater demonstration than the Spirit in you. I didn't say there are two different spirits. I said the work of the Holy Spirit in the midst of us is more powerful than in one person alone. Is it clear? Is it clear? That is why he gave his mission to a people, not an individual. So the power to execute the mission is amongst the people. It's amongst the people. Like I said earlier, evangelism is the work of the church. Evangelism is the work of the church. Evangelism is the work of the church. Don't say, I can go on evangelism. You better be sent by a church. You better be plugged into the churches. Don't say, what about missionaries? What about missionaries? Missionaries are meant to be sent out by churches to plant churches. You can't separate it. Sent out by what? Churches. What about an apostle? Sure. An apostle is sent out by what? Churches. To plant what? Churches. I see some folks, he said, we are ministers of the gospel. And we don't need churches. No, you need churches. God doesn't have lone rangers. Don't be a lone ranger. One man mopo, that is not God. God doesn't do one man mopo. Look at this. Elijah said, I've been a one man mopo for long. God said, I have an assembly of how many people? 7,000. Praise God forevermore. Say, I honor meetings. So what happened there? What happened? Is this? And it was so verse 9 that when he had turned his back to go from Samuel, God gave him what? Another hand. And all those things came to pass that day. And when they came hither to the hill, behold, a company of prophets met him. And the Spirit of God came upon him. And he did what? He prophesied among them. Hallelujah. And it came to pass that all that knew. Now, when he says he prophesied among them, you know, today you might read that text and then you just feel like he just prophesied, like you prophesied today. No. It's not the same. When he says he prophesied, in the Old Testament, in that word, that statement is used to describe somebody who is full of the Spirit. See, at that moment, Saul could walk miracles. It's the Old Testament's way of describing being full of the Spirit. In the New Testament books, it says Stephen was full of faith and power. Full of faith and power. Earlier on in chapter 6, it says, men full of wisdom and of the Holy Ghost. Full of faith, rather, and of the Holy Ghost. Filled with wisdom. At that moment, that word prophesied is used to describe how Saul was full of the Spirit. Full of the Spirit. Full of the Spirit. And he spoke this word. He said he prophesied. He spoke by the Spirit of God. He spoke by the Spirit of God. He gave direction to things by the Spirit in the meeting. And he had never prophesied before. So that means in the meeting. Now, look at this. What if I've been doing something before? The ones you have not done before will come upon you. Oh, I've never given a word of knowledge before. Get into the meeting. You just observe that after the meeting, you start giving words of knowledge. You start knowing secrets about people's lives by the Spirit of God. Then, okay, maybe it is not word of knowledge. I have not taught God's word so powerfully before. Then in the meeting, it comes upon you. Then you begin to teach the word of God with power, with wisdom, with divine eloquence, utterance. I have never led before. Then the grace of a leader comes upon you. It comes upon you. So it means that in the meeting, the things you have not seen work in your life before begins to work. They are activated. Now, when he says God gave him another heart, don't forget, it simply means he had desire for what Samuel said. He had desire. So it means desire precedes the meeting. Is it clear? Desire. He desired what Samuel said. That's what it means by God gave him another heart. Desire. Desire. Paul said, he says, to desire spiritual gifts. He won't say you shouldn't desire if God is not going to fill you with what you desire. So when I desire for something in the meeting, hallelujah, God fills me with that thing by His Spirit, who I desire. So what do you desire? I desire a stronger teaching ministry. I desire the grace of an apostle to go into a city where the gospel has never been preached or taught in a way, and to preach and teach it that way, with signs and wonders following. And I know it is available in the meeting. I have what I say. Meetings. Are we together? I desire the gifts of healing to flow in me and in my ministry like never before. I desire it. I desire it. And then in the meeting, are we together? You know, in the meeting, there are moments. There are moments. There are different moments for different things. The moment where the teaching grace comes to be given is different from the moment when the healing grace comes to be given. That is why you don't miss any session. You don't miss any session. You don't miss any session. You don't say, oh, I just got married, I want to go and care for my wife. Like those idiots said in the Bible of Jesus. Don't say, oh, I just started a business, I need to go and attend to my business. You say, oh, I just bought some new cars, I want to go and warm them. No! In the meeting, your focus is on the Lord. He says the Lord gave him another heart. That means he was focused. He was full of desire. He was full of faith for what Samuel said. He had faith for what Samuel said. He had faith for what Samuel said. He had desire for what Samuel said. And he was filled with it. I desire the teaching grace. Are we together? Are we together? I desire utterances. I desire boldness. I desire the office of a bishop. He says, if any man desires the office of a bishop, he desires a good thing. I desire graces. 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 I desire to function as God's king in my world. I desire to function as God's priest in my world. I desire to function as God's spokesman in my world. With supernatural signs and wonders, with revelatory gifts, with the gifts of healing, with power in operation, with utterance and wisdom, with wisdom to build the tabernacle of God. I desire it. And there are atmospheres in the meeting. Different atmospheres. Atmosphere for heightening of gifts of the Spirit. Atmosphere for visions. Sometimes, yeah, sometimes in the meeting there's an unusual, in a particular session of the meeting, there can be an unusual atmosphere to contact revelatory gifts in form of visions. And if you already do, it is what you already have can be heightened. Increased activity. Your network bar move from 2 to 5 to 10. Full bar. Imagine. Look at what Paul said to Timothy. He says, make full proof of thy ministry. It means amplify everything. Let everything be working sharp, sharp. Are we together, church? Because in 2026 and 2027, the Lord will lead many of us to plant new works for Him in and outside the city. So those meetings are your home. I'll close here. And be careful. Do not let others school you on how to treat what is your home. You must school others on how they should treat what belongs to you. Be careful. Don't let people teach you how you should treat your parents. No. You should teach people how they should treat your parents. You're not going to teach me how I should treat my parents. I will lecture you on how you should treat my parents. Because they are mine. I honor them. I honor them. I honor them. The same thing with those meetings. It is my meeting. 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 Verse 12. Or verse 11. It came to pass when all that knew him before time. So your classmates, your colleagues at work, those who knew him before time, families, friends, even fellow church members, those that knew him before time, look at what happened. What happened there? He says, when they saw him, behold, he prophesied among the prophets. Then the people said one to another, what that is come unto the son of Kish? There will be conversations in the heavens concerning this. A supernatural being says to another supernatural being, oh, we can start making that available to him now. And that supernatural being says, but he was not ready. He says, can you not see what happened at Kamiti? You don't know supernatural beings have such conversations. I've had many. I've had moments that my ears were open and I had conversations. And I looked around and said, you know, it wasn't a man that was talking. And it was as though a particular person was giving instruction to another person. And it was concerning our church and ministry. Are we together? Sometimes hands are laid on you. And a supernatural being said, all right, it is time to embark on this. And says, how can you not see what happened in the conference? You read Daniel. That was exactly what happened there. Are we together? So meetings can move tomorrow to now. Meetings can move you into the tomorrow you are thinking about. Meetings, they function like what we call portals, entry points into times and seasons of God's spirit for our lives. For the son of Kish, he says, what is he that he come unto the son of Kish? He saw also among the prophets. Ah, someone after the camp meeting, someone said, ah, me won't come on in a miracle. Are we together? Because the gifts of healing are now working. In a meeting where we have set our hearts to give all, you must open your heart to receive all. No holding back. No holding back. No holding back. And one says, and one of the same place answered and said, but who is your father? Therefore it became a proverb. He saw also among the prophets. And when he had made an end prophesying, he came to the world, to the high place. Look at what happened. And Saul's uncle said unto him and to his servant, where went you? And he said, to seek the asses. And when we saw that they were nowhere, we came to Samuel. And then Saul's uncle, tell me, I prayed him, what Samuel said unto you? And Saul said unto his uncle, he told plainly of the house of Pharaoh, but of the matter of the kingdom whereof Samuel spoke, he what? He told him not. Saul was still not very intelligent in the things of the Spirit. Wasn't intelligent. But you can see what happens to a man that is not what? Intelligent. A man who is not so much intelligent about the things of the Spirit. Are we together? Instructions were simply given him, and he obeyed, and he was transformed. How much more a man indwelt by the Spirit, taught of the Spirit? How much more a man who has insight into the diversities of the ministries of the Spirit in a meeting? Are we together? I'm open. I am open. You know, through the week, through your exams, those of you writing exams in school, your place of work, those of you in your organizations. Whatever you're doing, that's what I'm trying to say. Those of you who work in offices, in your office, every now and then, it could be twice a day, it could be five times in the day, between 6 a.m. and maybe 9, 10 p.m. that you go off to bed if you sleep at that time of the day. That's about 18 hours. Are we together? It could just be twice. It could be five times. It could happen 10 times. It could be 20 times. But any time it comes to your heart, just say to yourself, I'm open for all of the Spirit of God that come in. By saying that, you are sowing seeds of how the meeting must go for you. Because at times in such meetings, some things are not pre-planned, but for your sake it will be done. Some things will be laid on the heart of the minister. Some things will be laid in the heart of the one teaching, preaching, ministry, administering the things of the Spirit. At the spur of the moment, yes, he learns to respond, but they will be laid on his heart because of what you said. Are we together, church? Are we together? 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 I am open. I'm open for the move of the Spirit of God that comes. I dare say that the meeting is mine. I dare say that the meeting is for the plans and purposes of God for my life. I dare say that I will minister maximally in the course of a meeting, and I will receive maximally in the course of a meeting. I dare say that I do not stand in the way of giving and receiving in the meeting. I dare say that I walk in honor and I'm a participant of all that God does. Come meeting is mine and the things of the Spirit.